I want to, this morning, just for a little while, talk about the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, it talks about, I'll just read the first 10 verses, okay? We'll pray first. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that Jesus rose from the dead, that we're free. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes standing, lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So here we are. We have this story of Easter in John chapter 20, the empty tomb. But when we look at this a little bit, we see that not only did Jesus raise from the dead, there's a story of three people there. And it amazes me. Jesus had been in the grave for 3 nights. It's now Sunday morning. Jesus is risen from the dead. And it was the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene showed up at the tomb. And when she got there, the stone was taken away and Jesus' body was gone. She runs back, gets a hold of Peter and John, and said they have taken his body. And both Peter and John run to the tomb. John stays back, Peter goes in. John finally comes in and he saw that and believed. Okay? Now here's the interesting thing about that. Mary, Peter, and John both witnessed an empty tomb. All three of them looked at that tomb. And it's amazing that their responses were all different. Mary was convinced that they stole Jesus' body. Amen? Peter, it seems to indicate, didn't know what happened. Because he looked in there and he was just bewildered. John looked in the tomb and saw and believed. So here we have it. It always amazes me how people could look at the same thing and see three different things. You can walk into a meeting and hear a preacher preach a sermon, and he's got a specific point, but let you go out and you ask everybody what they heard, and inevitably everybody heard something different. Okay? Now, which reminds me of a preacher, an artist, and a cowboy. And they're standing in front of the Grand Canyon. Artist looks out over Grand Canyon and he goes, what a beautiful picture to paint. Preacher looks out and he goes, what a great example of God's handiwork. Cowboy looks out and he goes, what a terrible place to lose a cow. Again, people see things differently. And I said all that little introduction today because of the fact that I'm the preacher and I'm going to tell you what I think about Easter Sunday, all right? And I wonder what people think about when they look at the empty tomb. There's big conspiracy theories about it. Even back in that day, they said they stole the body, all right? They said, well, you know, let's put a big rock in front of the tomb in case they come and stole the body and say that he rose from the dead. I know when way back before I was saved, some conspiracy theorists believe that aliens came down in a big cloud and there was a spaceship and they took Jesus off the cross. That's what people believe because everybody believes something different. As a matter of fact, we woke up this morning, my wife goes, I hear a lawnmower. So I looked out, I go, it's the people next door. She goes, well, what are they mowing the lawn on Easter Sunday for? I says, because they're Hindus and they don't believe like we believe. She goes, yeah, but they sell chocolate bunnies in their stores and they're making money off it. Praise God. But and they're just mowing their lawn like it's just any other Sunday, but they don't know. People just see it as another story in the Bible, another way to make money. Easter, you know. Some people don't see anything at all. They just see an empty tomb. Fabricated story, and it doesn't mean anything to them. But like I said, I can't speak for anyone else, but I could speak for me. And I'll tell you what I say. I see a God that's alive. I see an enemy that's defeated. I see a gospel that's powerful. A hope that's for sure. We have a hope and a promise that goes beyond description in our life. So I see a God that's alive. You know, that movie was out a few years back, God's Not Dead. He is surely alive. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem today to prove it. I don't know about other people's gods. I just don't know about them. I know Buddha died, they buried him, and he's still there. I know that Muhammad died, they buried him, and he's still there. Hare Krishna died, they buried him, and he's still there. Jesus died, they buried him, and he's not there. And that's what we, because he's alive. The kids, they sang that song, Jesus is alive, 1, 2, 3. Great. You know, and you say, why would they bury him in Joseph's tomb? Why buy something you're not going to use for 3 days? Jesus said, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive forevermore. Yeah. See, I believe that. We were out to dinner last night. We had a conversation with the table next to us. And we said, I forget how it went. Giovanni was sitting there. And I said, well, I know I'm going to heaven. So he asked the other guy, you going to heaven? I hope so. I said, you don't have to hope so. You can know so. So this little conversation started. And cleaned the restaurant out pretty quick. Nah, that was late anyway, but still. But because he lives, he's become my counselor. He's become my advocate. He's my defense attorney. All right. He's my healer. He's my refuge. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my King. He's my rock. My counselor, my Father, my Keeper. Master, teacher, and intercessor. Amen. He's alive. Amen. And he's able. And if you have a need today, you know, we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And people are packing churches out all around the world today. But if you have a need, we have to understand Jesus is still alive. Yes. It's just the way they were talking with. How does God speak? He speaks to your heart. He whispers in your heart. It's such a great thing. And he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So if you have a need today, you need to come to Jesus. Amen. Then we have an enemy. Number two, we have an enemy that's defeated. You say, you know, the devil's real. A lot of people don't believe in the devil. I don't understand why they don't believe in the devil, because they always look at those ghost shows on television. But yet they'll deny that there's evil. They'll deny that there's a devil. Yeah. One person said, you know, I just don't understand how a good God could let all these bad things happen in this world. Yeah, well, it's not God letting it happen. And God's not going to stop it until Jesus comes back. Yeah. It's happening because Adam and Eve sold out to the enemy, and now there's evil resident in the world. And all the do-good stuff. All the do-good, politically correct, do-good organizations are not going to bring about peace. They're not going to solve the hunger problem. They're not going to solve the lack of water problem. The only person who's going to solve that is when a person receives Jesus and their heart is changed and their mind is renewed. That's what changes it. And you could shout amen or oh me anyway. And in Scripture, he's known by many names. Dragon. We had a teacher in Ramey used to call him Old Slewfoot. But the dragon, Satan, the serpent, the adversary, the wicked one, the devil. And because he hated God so much, he came and attacked God's greatest creation, man. And he will continue to attack man until Jesus comes back and takes care of him. Then there will be no more evil in the world. But until that time, you're going to have a North Korea, you're going to have a Syria, you're going to have an Iraq, you're going to have an Iran. They're not going to stop it. It's just not going to happen. I don't care their plans, their hearts might be right, but it's not going to stop because something is in control of these people because they don't have Jesus. It says, you know, and he came and he attacked Adam and Eve, and that's when sin started. You know, we talk about the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What is the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? Adam and Eve only knew good. But he says, if you eat of this tree, you will die. And the original language simply says this, in dying, you shall die. Well, what was it talking about? The spirit, the life force of man, the minute they ate of that tree, became separated from God. And from that moment forward, sin was in the earth. Sin was in the heart of man. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was to pay for sin. If you were here Friday night, you would have learned something about that. But the point is, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was Adam and Eve only knew good. They didn't know evil. They didn't know bad. But the minute they ate that tree, they knew the difference between human good and human evil. And it's been the battle ever since. Human good versus human evil. And the only way that... What you say? I said this the other night. I said, the devil thought he won at Calvary. If he had known what was going to happen, he would have never had Jesus crucified. But he thought that cross was Satan's ultimate victory. But he didn't know in 3 days what was going to happen. That Jesus was going to come out of that tomb, come out of the pits of hell, with the keys. See, what Jesus did when he was dead for 3 days and 3 nights and 2 days, what he did from the cross to Sunday, he invaded the enemy's territory, hallelujah, overcame the power of the enemy, hallelujah, destroyed his weapons, and spoiled his house. 2 Colossians 2:15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The devil is defeated. The only footway the devil has in your life is what you give him. You can stand and resist him, or you could let him slap the snot out of you. It's your choice, and he will. Care if you're a Christian or you're not. He looks for an opening. He'll come in and he'll punch your lights out. But we've got the power. Because the next one is, I see a gospel that's powerful. When Jesus died, he gave us power. He gave us authority. He gave us his word. He says it in Luke chapter 10 that he's given us power over all the works of the devil in my life. I can't stop the works of the devil in your life. You have to. You have to take a stand. You have to look him in the eye. Because you have a powerful gospel. It says we were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. See, the gospel is more than a story about Jesus' death and burial. It's about his resurrection. And if anything, it's the power is in the resurrection. The tomb is empty. The cross is bare. It's more than just repentance and baptism. It's the power of his spirit that dwells in us, that gives us the capability. Paul says we were baptized into Christ. Those that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death, buried with him in baptism, and now we are raised from the dead. And we walk in newness of life. See, well, so when I look at the gospel, there's power in the gospel. The power to change people's lives. The power to heal people. The power to get people from the pits of hell into the kingdom of heaven. To translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's the power of the gospel. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. It'll change people's lives. And that's just some of the things the Holy Ghost could do for you. Glory. See, what we don't understand about the resurrection life is an overcoming life. We're overcomers. And then I see a hope. That's for sure. Glory to God. Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. We have hope. You know, on Thursday nights we do family night, happy hour, and we run a slideshow, and it's a cracked, parched dirt, right, Mike? And when that's up there, all of a sudden you see this tulip start to come out of the dirt. The dirt's all cracked. And it says, hope eternal. What? Hope springs eternal. We have a hope because he's raised. We one day are going to be raised up with a new body. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 to 23 says, if in this life only we have hope, we'd be of all men most miserable. But Christ is risen from the dead. And that's what we're talking about today. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Because by man came death, but by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. First fruits. He's the first fruits, the first reaping of the harvest. He's the first fruits. And that's an indication. When we say first fruits, there's an indication more is coming. You know, when we look at that little story that Pastor Eddie shared with the pine cones, one man had to die and raise from the dead. All us dead people that are dead in the spirit that believe in Jesus, we are not going to sprout. And when we tell somebody about the power of the gospel and they believe it and they receive Jesus, they're going to sprout. And they're going to tell somebody else and they're going to sprout. And the first fruits is an indication of what's to follow. Simply, the indication here is the first of many and more that are going to be raised when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. See, his resurrection is a guarantee of my resurrection. If you believe in Christ, it's a guarantee of your resurrection. If you believe in Christ, I have hope in Jesus. I have hope that when things are not going well, I'm glad I could say, I have hope in Jesus. When things go sideways in your life, when the devil attacks you, and you don't know what to do, and your mind is going berserk, there's hope in Jesus. And the last thing I want to say before we have communion this morning is there's a promise that's beyond description. As good as you could have it down here, there is something better. Better. See, because the empty tomb said something. Jesus said something. He says, let your hearts not be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. See, if you think Jesus has been sitting around doing nothing for 2,000 some years, he's been up there building your condo. We're so worried about what we're going to have here on earth, which reminds me of a story I heard the other last night. I'm going to try to tell it. This guy's on an island in Mexico. He's just sitting there. And he sees this fishing boat go out every day. Boat comes out, guy's out for an hour or so, comes in, has got all kinds of tuna. So the guy said, what do you do with that tuna? He said, well, he says, I keep some for myself. I sell some to the local restaurants. He says, I give some to my friends. He said, I go home, I go to the bar. We play the guitar, we sing, we have a good time. He says, tomorrow, I go out and do the same thing. So the guy's watching him. He goes out, comes back. So he says, hey, I want to talk to you a minute. He says, I got an idea. He said, if you're going out in an hour or two catching all this fish, he says, why don't you go out for 4 hours and get more fish, get more tuna. He says, and you could bring the tuna back, and you could, you know, do a little advertisement. You could sell it everywhere. He says, and then you'll get a bigger boat because you'll make money and you can go out and you can get more tuna. He said, and you come back. He says, you set up an advertising campaign and you could start selling it. You could can it. You could do all this stuff with it. Before you know it, you'll have a fleet and you'll be rich. You'll be a millionaire beyond imagination. He goes, then you could sit back, come down here on an island, and relax, go out, catch a few fish, come back, go to the bar and sing. He goes, why do I want to do all that? I'm doing that right now. People want more because they're not happy where they're at. Well, I'm telling you, everything you work for on this earth, I never saw a U-Haul follow a hearse yet. Reminds me of the guy that died. He said, listen, put all my gold in a bag. I want to bring it with me to heaven. He gets in, he dies. He goes up to heaven. He's at the gate. St. Peter says, hey, what's in the bag? He goes, gold. He goes, hey, Lou, come over here. Get these bags. We got more pavement. We just go for the craziest things in the world. And we want the best of everything. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Don't misunderstand me. But we go berserk. And really, we're going to have a mansion in heaven. We're going to have streets paved with gold and pearly gates. And you're never going to be sick again. You're never going to fight with your family again. Things are going to be perfect. Everything we're striving for here. You see, and if Adam and Eve didn't sin, that's the way it would have been here. But they did. And here we are. That's why we need Jesus. Just to make it a little bit better while we're on this journey. Amen. Anyway, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. And you're saying, you know, you're saying it sounds like a pie in the sky thing. Hey, it's bigger than a pie in the sky, my friend. All right. John tried to describe it this way. He said the city lies four square, however big four square, has 12 foundations, all right, has 12 gates, has walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. There's nothing on this earth that compares to that. All the gold they found with Saddam Hussein and all the palaces and all the garbage he had, nothing can compare to what's up there. Like I said, I told you about the rich man at the gate. The only way I could describe heaven is by telling you what's not there. No pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death, no tears, no crying, no hunger, no thirst, no sin, no deceiver, no condemnation, no separation, no time. That's what's not there. It's amazing. It's everything that we are locked into here that we try to get away from. When we get there, it's not there anymore. We'll never have to say goodbye because we'll all be there. And I'll close with this because we're going to have communion here in a moment. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, if you haven't received Jesus and that spirit that raised him from the dead, you could do that today. Because everything I told you is scriptural, it's real, it's come to pass, and we're going to heaven. I believe that. I looked at the man last night in the restaurant and said, I believe that with all my heart. There's no hoping. I don't hope I'm going. I know I'm going. And when you have that, inside your heart, you have a hope that is beyond description. Because, you know, I'd be amiss if I said I don't get angry at things. I don't get mad. Matter of fact, last night I was praying. I told my wife, and she got really upset at me. Because I said, you know, God, I'm mad at you. She goes, how could you say that? That's a sin. I said, well, I'm not really mad at him. I'm mad at me because things ain't going the way I want them to go. He goes, you don't have to tell him you're mad at him. I said, you got big shoulders. He knows what I mean. He knows my heart. Hey, when I was growing up, I used to tell my father, I'm mad at you. I wasn't mad at him. I loved him. I was mad because things weren't going my way. And it wasn't my father's fault either. And it's not God's fault. But the thing is, I have a hope. No matter how bad things are going in my life, I know it's all going to work out. Amen. Everything is going to work out. All things will work out for the good of those that love him. So, before we hand out the communion elements, if there's anyone in this room, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, I want you to search your heart. Just search your heart. If you haven't received Jesus, if you haven't received his spirit, if you haven't made that confession that says, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I thank you that you rose from the dead for me. If you haven't made that commitment and you want to before we're dismissed today, just slip your hand up. We'll pray a short prayer right where you're at right now. Because I'm here to tell you, heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. but it's real. And Jesus loves every one of us. And he wants every one of us to spend eternity with him. Look around. I don't see any hands. Praise God. That means if Jesus was to come right now, he'd all say, okay, come to heaven. If you're not sure he'd let you in, you need to raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pass out the communion elements this morning. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper, the meal on the last night when Jesus was betrayed. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus.